Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Random Family by Adrienne Nicole LeBlanc is a landmark work of narrative nonfiction that follows a network of young people and their relatives in the South Bronx as they navigate love, loyalty, parenting, and survival amid the pressures of poverty and the drug economy. Built from years of close reporting, the book tracks everyday life rather than headlines, showing how personal choices are shaped by housing instability, under-resourced schools, incarceration, and informal street economies. At its center are intimate relationships and family bonds that endure even as crack-era violence, addiction, and legal consequences repeatedly disrupt plans for adulthood. LeBlanc presents the Bronx not as a stereotype but as a living community where people improvise solutions, protect one another, and make meaning in constrained circumstances. The result is a coming-of-age story grounded in social reality, illuminating how opportunity, risk, and responsibility are distributed unevenly and how resilience can coexist with grief, conflict, and deep affection. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a long view of coming of age under constraint. A defining strength of Random Family is its time span. Rather than treating adolescence as a brief chapter, the book follows young people into adulthood, revealing how early moments in romance, school, and neighborhood status can echo for years. The narrative shows how turning points like a pregnancy, a breakup, an arrest, a move, or a job opportunity are rarely isolated events. They are linked to family expectations, peer loyalties, and the limited set of realistic options available at any given moment. This long view clarifies why some choices that appear irrational from the outside can make sense within the logic of survival and belonging. It also captures how aspirations change as responsibilities accumulate. Dreams of stability, education, or conventional family life collide with the demands of childcare, unstable income, and ongoing conflicts. By keeping the focus on lived experience over time, the book illustrates the slow grind of structural pressure and the equally persistent effort of individuals to build dignity, love, and a future in the middle of uncertainty. Secondly, love, loyalty, and family as survival systems, the book treats relationships not as side plots but as core infrastructure. Romantic partnerships, friendships, and kin networks provide protection, financial help, childcare, housing connections, and emotional refuge. These ties can be intensely supportive, yet they also create obligations that complicate escape from harmful situations. A partner may offer stability one day and bring danger the next, and a family member can be both a lifeline and a source of conflict. The story highlights how loyalty becomes a moral code in environments where formal institutions feel unreliable or punitive. Trust is built through shared histories, favors repaid, and reputations defended, and violations can carry immediate consequences. At the same time, the book does not romanticize closeness. It depicts jealousy, control, betrayal, and the painful endurance of relationships that outsiders might urge someone to abandon. By showing family in the broad sense, including extended relatives and chosen kin, the narrative explains how people assemble support in real time and why even imperfect bonds can matter when the alternatives are isolation, homelessness, or exposure to violence. Thirdly, the drug economy and the neighborhood opportunity structure. Random Family examines the drug trade as a local labor market that sits beside low-wage work, welfare systems, and informal hustles. The book portrays how dealing can appear as a rational path to income and status when formal employment is scarce, unstable, or incompatible with parenting and transportation realities. It also shows the volatility of that economy. Money arrives fast, disappears fast, and invites conflict, addiction, and legal risk. The neighborhood environment shapes who gets recruited, who gets protected, and who becomes a target. The trade is not presented as a glamorous underworld, but as an ecosystem with rules, hierarchies, and constant uncertainty. The narrative also clarifies that the drug economy is intertwined with ordinary life. People move between legitimate jobs and street work. Relationships cross those boundaries, and children absorb the consequences. By framing drugs as part of an opportunity structure, the book helps readers understand how economic insecurity and social exclusion can funnel communities into cycles that are hard to break, even for those who want different lives. Fourthly, courts, incarceration, and the shadow of the criminal legal system. A major through line is how deeply the criminal legal system penetrates daily life. Arrests, probation requirements, court dates, and prison sentences do not affect only the person charged. They reshape entire families, altering income, housing arrangements, parenting roles, and relationship dynamics. The book illustrates how legal entanglements generate chronic instability, including sudden disappearances, urgent fundraising for fees, and the logistical burden of visits and paperwork. It also highlights the emotional toll of waiting, uncertainty, and the constant recalculation of risk. The criminal legal system becomes a parallel institution that organizes time and behavior, sometimes more predictably than schools or workplaces. The narrative suggests that punishment often fails to address underlying problems, such as addiction, trauma, and lack of opportunity, while also making reintegration harder by weakening job prospects and social ties. Through grounded storytelling, the book helps readers see incarceration not as a distant policy debate, but as a recurring event that reconfigures family life and the prospects of the next generation. Lastly, ethnographic storytelling and what it reveals about poverty, LeBlanc's approach is immersive, building a detailed social world through close attention to routines, conversations, and small decisions. That method matters because poverty is often discussed in abstractions such as statistics, stereotypes, and moral judgments. By staying with individuals across years, the book exposes the complex mix of agency and constraint that shapes outcomes. Readers see how people strategize, compromise, and sometimes self-sabotage under pressure, and how trauma and hope can coexist in the same household. The narrative also surfaces the role of institutions, schools that fail to catch a student before they drop out, housing systems that make stability fragile, and service networks that can be difficult to access. Importantly, the book shows intelligence, humor, tenderness, and ambition alongside hardship. This balance prevents a one-note depiction of suffering and instead offers a textured understanding of life in the Bronx during a particular era. The result is a humanizing account that encourages readers to rethink easy explanations and to recognize how social systems shape personal stories. In conclusion, this book is well-suited for readers who want a deeply human account of urban America, including people interested in sociology, journalism, criminal justice, public health, and social policy, as well as general readers drawn to character-driven true stories. It can benefit a reader's life by expanding empathy and sharpening the ability to see how environments shape decisions. Instead of reducing people to labels such as addict, dealer, or victim, the narrative highlights motivations, obligations, and the constant negotiation between love and survival. That perspective can change how readers think about family, responsibility, and the meaning of opportunity. Compared to many books about drugs or crime that focus on sensational events or a single case, Random Family stands out for its long-term, close reporting and its attention to the everyday consequences of poverty and incarceration. It offers a fuller picture of how systems and relationships interact, making it valuable not only as a compelling story, but also as an education in context. For readers seeking nonfiction that is both emotionally powerful and intellectually clarifying, it is a purchase that tends to stay relevant long after the last page. If you would like to support Adrienne Nicole LeBlanc, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.